You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Broncos country, what is up? It is Monday over here at Locked On Broncos. We're going to bring you another action-packed, information-filled episode regarding your Denver Broncos over here at the Locked On Podcast. Now, be sure to follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos, as well as me, at Cody Rourke NFL. On today's show, we're going to talk about, obviously, the Denver Broncos dilemma at quarterback. The latest post discussing what we're going to talk about here is up on LockedOnBroncos.com. Don't forget to check that out. A great element that we have combining the podcast within writing into two elements on the same platform as well over at LockedOnBroncos.com. So yeah, obviously the Broncos are facing a dilemma at quarterback between starting Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler. We're going to evaluate both sides. And obviously you fans chimed in today on Twitter and answered the question whether who the Broncos should look at quarterback, whether it be Paxton Lynch or Brock Osweiler, and why. We're going to read some of the best responses here on air on tonight's show to kind of support our claim. We're going to debate about it. I love debates. And we're obviously going to read the poll question, the poll results regarding the very same thing as well. And obviously in our second segment today, we're going to talk about the pulse of the AFC West, the standings after week 16. Obviously, some divisional games, some impactful games. Now, the AFC West still is kind of the AFC worst, and from the win-loss standpoint, there are a lot of losses altogether for the AFC West. Oakland, Kansas City, the Chargers, and of course your Denver Broncos. We're going to take a look at upcoming games for them across the AFC West, as well as the Denver Broncos matchup this week against the Washington Redskins. A potential audition for their future quarterback, Kirk Cousins. We could see him, obviously, on Sunday. He may be the Broncos quarterback next year. Who knows? The NFL has been very weird. The Broncos and the word quarterback and dilemma have been hand in hand. We'll analyze that in tonight's show as well. So, before we get to the first segment, I want to take the time to tell you guys about what we have going on over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, Matt Williamson brings you the latest and greatest NFL news and analysis Monday through Friday on the Locked On Podcast Network. So be sure to check him out over there at Locked On NFL. Now, I'm sure a big topic of discussion this week with Matt or today is going to be a big portion about the NFL and the rules on what a catch is. If you didn't miss the Steelers and Patriots game last night, you missed, obviously, Jesse James' touchdown catch that was ruled not a catch. And it was controversy. Once again, the New England Patriots benefit off of a controversial call. I'm sure Matt Williamson has you informed over there at Locked On NFL. Be sure to check him out as well. So, let's dive into it. You know, to be honest with you, the Broncos, I feel like we've talked a lot about the Denver Broncos and the quarterback situation this year. You know, as has sports radio on a national platform, okay? Fox Sports Radio, NFL Radio, NBC Sports, they've all talked about the Denver Broncos dilemma at quarterback. And to be honest with you, it's quite frustrating to kind of look at and see how the Broncos have fell off in 2 years in terms of quarterback play. And the Broncos have been through five quarterbacks this year due to either injury or being benched. And it all started off with Trevor Siemian starting for a few weeks. He didn't play well after a while. And then all of a sudden, Brock Osweiler came in and he got the start. He started playing against Philadelphia. Brock Osweiler did decent, but they wanted to see what they had with Paxton Lynch after they fired Mike McCoy. Paxton Lynch gets hurt in his first game as a starter after throwing for 41 total yards, and it's back to Trevor Siemian. Now, Trevor Siemian goes through, plays great against the New York Jets, lays an egg against the Indianapolis Colts, gets hurt, and then we see Brock Osweiler come back and throw for two touchdowns, run for one. So it's just been a crazy year. The NFL, in my opinion, has been absolutely crazy this year. And that's really kind of hard to kind of comprehend just how much of a cluster the Broncos' offensive situation has been. Now, to be honest with you, I think the Broncos' offense has looked tremendously better this year with Brock Osweiler under center. I just feel like Brock Osweiler has the ability and has shown it to lead this team, to lead the guys on this offense into battle. And I think that's the most important part that we really have to look at is when I look at the Indianapolis Colts game, I look at the first half, I look at Trevor Siemian in a quarterback under center, the offense was stagnant. The offense couldn't move the ball. The offense was just very hard to watch. And we were accustomed to seeing hard to watch all year. However, when Trevor Siemian got hurt, Brock Osweiler came in and it just seemed like a light bulb had flicked on in his head, and he was hitting every pass. His reads was great. Going back and looking at the Skycam footage, you could tell Brock Osweiler went through his progressions. He got the ball out quickly. He recognized where the blitz was coming from and threw where the blitz was coming from. That is smart quarterback play. And I think sitting behind Peyton Manning for all them years and kind of being in the meeting rooms has really taken, you know, Brock has taken a lot of stuff from Peyton Manning, in my opinion. And you can see that on the field. So I think that's important for us to really analyze going forward when talking about this debate. So I asked the question today. I tweeted, you know, let's debate. Who should the Broncos quarterback be in these final two games? Now, I got a lot of great responses. Ryan Cozier said, personally, I'd like to see Paxton Lynch finish out the season. There's no more evaluation to be done on Brock, and while Paxton will probably never be, unquote, the guy, some extra film on him can't hurt. At worst, we lose out and improve on draft status. Yeah, that's a point. You do have a point there. But my point is that I want to make, and somebody actually made it for me in the tweets. John Heath, NFL, tweeted me, said, if they were still in the playoff hunt, go with Brock Osweiler. Since they're not, take a longer look at Paxton Lynch. Now, my question is, what if Paxton Lynch is the quarterback for the final two games for the Denver Broncos? What are we going to learn about him? That's my biggest question regarding Paxton Lynch. What are we going to learn in two games that's going to tell us whether he is or isn't the quarterback? Now, we've seen him in three starts. In three starts, that's been difficult. He's played very subpar. He hasn't had a great career so far in his three starts. He's struggled. He holds onto the ball too long. He's been sacked a total 13 times in just three career starts. He holds onto the ball too long. He just needs more mentorship, more development. And there's still a lot of intangibles that were very raw coming out of college, out of Memphis. But he just doesn't have it right now. So that really begs the question, what the Broncos should do going forward at quarterback, obviously, in the final 2 weeks of the regular season against the Washington Redskins and the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't know yet. But what I am willing to tell you guys is that Brock Osweiler has proven to be a successful commodity in terms of the Denver Broncos being able to have some kind of leadership, have some kind of enthusiasm on the offensive side of the ball. Like I go back to the Indianapolis game. I go back to the Philadelphia Eagles game, for example. Even though the Broncos got blown out in that game, the offense was moving the ball a lot better. Brock Osweiler was getting the ball out quickly. He doesn't hold on the ball very long. And when the pocket collapses, he steps up underneath and he runs the football. I think it's important when we really kind of compare the two, what we've seen versus what we really are kind of unsure of. And I'm really unsure about Paxton Lynch's future as a Denver Bronco. I don't think him in two games is really going to tell us everything we need to know about him. Now, somebody made the argument and said, well, what if Paxton Lynch plays great the next, you know, the final two games? Well, to be honest with you, we've seen Trevor Siemian play pretty dang good for a span of three games. And then now look what happened. We know what Trevor Siemian is. Gary Funk Broncos tweets, Brock, because of that mile-high salute, and he's not as fragile or still recovering. That's a good point. Health is wealth in the NFL. Greg Klun tweets, Pax, not even close, time to evaluate. If we were in playoff hunt, go with Brock, but we aren't, so it's eval time for a lot of younger players. Now, see, this is the part that I really don't understand. I really don't understand. This isn't really high school football or even college football where you have to evaluate younger players. Yeah, you got to evaluate younger players, no joke. But in terms of quarterback play, you got to go with the most experienced. Now, the Broncos come out and they said, you know what, we're not tanking. There's no point in tanking in the National Football League. We're here to play to win. Von Miller wants to play to win. This is their career. They come out here every week. You play to win the game. If I had to coin a very famous phrase from a very famous coach, you play to win the game. Tony Salva at Rigatoni says, haven't we seen enough of Paxton Lynch? You know what? I do think we've seen a lot of things from Paxton Lynch, and I think the bad outweighs the good. And what I mean by that is obviously holding onto the ball too long, staring down a receiver too often, you know, not inconsistency on his intermediate to deep throws. We haven't seen a lot of that. He's had the ability, obviously, go back to the Oakland Raiders game. First play, he has a chance to hit Benny Fowler for a touchdown, and he overthrows it. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of that equates to footwork. He's a guy that used to run out of the pistol system down there in Memphis. Well, when you have to drop back and you have to set your feet and throw in the National Football League, it's a lot different. Now, teams are running college variation offenses. I thought the Broncos would do so, and they kind of did with Paxton Lynch under Bill Musgrave when Bill Musgrave took over as the offensive coordinator. However, Paxton Lynch just lacks several confidence factors, and maybe if he does start these next two games for the Denver Broncos, depending on how healthy he is, if he does start, you have to look at how his decision-making really factors in these final two games. If his decision-making is poor and his intangibles, his key fundamentals that the quarterbacks and position guys work on every single day is not there, well, then maybe you move forward without him. And maybe you have Brock Osweiler. You've got to keep one quarterback on roster. And I think if the Broncos had one guy on this roster that they should keep, I think it's Brock Osweiler. I think Brock Osweiler has earned the right to be on this Denver Broncos roster going forward. Now, whether or not he's a starter or a backup, I'm okay with that. I think he's earned the right to be a backup for the Denver Broncos. He's proven to be a very valuable backup. Peyton Manning goes down. Guess what? Brock Osweiler comes in. You win some games. That helps. Trevor Siemian goes down. He leads a comeback. 25-13 win over the Indianapolis Colts. That speaks for itself. Michael Lawson tweets, will 2 weeks be enough time to evaluate Pax? If he plays well this next 2 weeks, does that change the draft and free agency? Trevor Siemian had periods where he played well for a couple weeks. Well, we know what happened there, don't we? And I think that's a great point, Michael. I really do think that's the key point that I'm really focused on, is understanding whether or not, you know, Paxton Lynch is going to be the guy. I don't have as much confidence right now as I did maybe the week he was starting against Oakland or the year they drafted him. I had a lot of confidence because I predicted. I even had in my mock draft Paxton Lynch being, you know, picked by the Denver Broncos round one. That was my key mock draft. That was my bold claim that came to fruition. However, he couldn't beat out a seventh rounder from Northwestern State and Trevor Siemian 2 years in a row. That right there has been the concerning part for me as a guy who analyzed the NFL and knows the game of football. I just don't think that bodes a lot of confidence in my ability to have confidence in Paxton Lynch to be able to lead this team. Now, he could completely prove me wrong, and I'm certainly open for that. That's why I do podcasts. That's why I talk about sports and cover sports. It allows athletes to prove me wrong based on what I see. So I'm excited about that. You know, depending on his health, we will definitely see. My man Cameron Parker says Cody Rourke should be starting quarterback. I could try, but why not? But he says, you are a former DB. If Tannehill can transition to quarterback, you can too. Man, I tell you what, I'm more of a DB receiver type than anything. I can't throw the ball worth a lick. Now, Jacob Smith tweets, Paxton Lynch, you give him a fair shot over two games. If he does well, then you give him an entire offseason with Musgrave. You know, you re-sign Brock for 2 years, $8 million or whatever. Let Lynch be the guy, barring injury, draft best player available, and keep salary cap space to build around Lynch. See, that doesn't make sense to me. No, Jacob, I appreciate your take, but I don't think you have a guy like Brock on your roster and a guy like Paxton Lynch, and then you draft the best player available, and you keep the salary cap space to build around Paxton Lynch. Well, what are we building around Paxton Lynch? Paxton Lynch has got to work on a lot of tendencies that he has that people are circling on the scouting report, on the game plan, and that's holding onto the ball too long, staring down receivers. Defense is key on that. Defensive coordinators, right now, if Paxton Lynch was a starter, they'd be like, we have nothing to worry about. We really don't. They play contain very well against Paxton Lynch because of the ability to run the option and zone read. But overall, I just don't think he's the guy for the Denver Broncos going forward. And I think that's one where John Elway will admit that, you know what, it wasn't a choice that we really wanted to. I think you have to go with a guy like Lamar Jackson or a Sam Darnold. Or I think a big part would be Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar Jackson. Baker Mayfield, some guys that have some it factor. Now, a lot of people talk about Chad Kelly. I don't think Chad Kelly is a guy that's going to be on the Broncos roster in 2018. I think he was just a status guy, Mr. Irrelevant, and it could be a good lesson for him. He could go on to be on a practice squad somewhere, but I think he'll be beneficial for another NFL roster. He could get a shot. I'm just not sure if it's in Denver. I could be wrong, though. We'll have to see. But obviously, Drew Rosen's out there. You know, I think that the prospect between Rosen and Darnold is very, very interesting because both of those guys played very well against each other when UCLA played USC. If you didn't get to see that game, go back and watch it. I just like a lot of the intangibles to see. They're more quarterback ready in the NFL than I think Paxton Lynch is or Trevor Siemian is. And right there, that's an instant upgrade for the Broncos offense. So that's definitely a tough part. Brian B., the last tweet we're going to talk about this is Washington and KCD will overrun Lynch. Can be great gauges whether or not Brock has really turned a corner or not. Goes a long way in determining targeting a free agent or developing a rookie. And I absolutely agree with you there, Brian. I think how the team, how this whoever the quarterback is, plays against Washington and Kansas City, that will gauge whether or not where they truly are. I think for Brock Osweiler, if he starts and he goes against Washington's defense and Kansas City's defense and he lights it up and the Broncos have success and win out these final two games, I think that really shows that Brock Osweiler's turned a corner. Now, if Paxton Lynch comes in and struggles against both of them, especially Kansas City, who's given up a lot of points, they played better defensively against the Los Angeles Chargers on Saturday Night Football, but the Kansas City defense is not that good. It really isn't, and I don't think the Chiefs are that good of a team overall. They're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, wherever they end up. That's my firm belief, unfortunately. I do think, though, if Paxton Lynch struggles against those teams, if he does start, I think you have to make the choice to walk away from Paxton Lynch or trade him. Trade him somewhere. There are many teams in the National Football League that want to develop a guy like that, like Paxton Lynch, that has the intangibles that he does. So obviously, jumping into our next segment here, obviously taking a look around the AFC West in our pulse segment of the week, taking a look at the forecast of what's going on in the AFC West with division opponents, Oakland, Kansas City, Los Angeles, and of course your Denver Broncos. Now, the Oakland Raiders are sitting at the year 6-8. They lost last night on Sunday Night Football to the Dallas Cowboys 20-17. Derek Carr had the touchback fumble rule happen to him, and that's absolutely crazy. They're struggling. They're struggling defensively, offensively to get things going. Khalil Mack still having a very good year. But overall, the Oakland Raiders started off pretty, the expectations with them were pretty high, and they failed to really meet that. Same with the Denver Broncos, unfortunately. But the Oakland Raiders have their next matchup on Christmas Day against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. That'll be really cool. You can check out Bill Williamson's Locked On Raiders for more information on that. Kansas City, obviously coming off a huge 30-13 victory against the Los Angeles Chargers, are sitting at 8-6 on the year, and they have two final games left. Obviously, Miami against Jay Cutler, and then obviously finishing off their regular season on the road at the Denver Broncos Week 17 in a game that could be very important. So these next two games for the Kansas City Chiefs are very important in terms of, obviously, I think they could win the division. Now, if they lose out and the Chargers win out, that means the Chargers win the AFC West. Now, I think looking at it on paper, I do believe that the Kansas City Chiefs will win the division. Now, I think Miami is going to be a win. Miami doesn't have a lot of pieces. I thought Miami defensively had a lot of stud players. They still do, but for some reason, the offense, when it's not working, it just puts them in a bind. You know, Kenyon Drake's an impressive tailback. He has the ability, in my opinion, to run all over this Kansas City defense. So I'm looking forward to actually watching that matchup on Sunday because I think it's important to kind of note just how impressive Miami really is if they didn't have the inconsistent flow on offense that they usually do. But Kansas City, they're that Jekyll and Hyde personality at 8-6 on the year. They've had a lot of games this year where they've looked good, and then they've had a lot of games in a row where they've looked terrible. Now, the last 2 weeks, the Chiefs have looked pretty dang good the last 2 weeks. You know, Alex Smith to Tyreek Hill, still a phenomenal connection. Obviously, to Kelce as well. The Chiefs are rolling right now, but I think a lot of fans in Chiefs Kingdom are growing restless regarding, obviously, Alex Smith and obviously the heir to the throne, Patrick Mahomes. They want to see him in the future, but If the Chiefs are heading towards the playoffs right now, if they're trying to secure that spot, obviously win the division or even snag a wild card, which it looks like two teams from the AFC West could be wild card players. It's very interesting to see, but they got to get things going, and obviously the Denver Broncos won't make it easy on the Kansas City Chiefs when they got to come to the Mile High City Week 17, and you got to obviously play against a tough Miami team that has the ability to score points when they can get the offensive consistency flowing. Now, The Chargers 7-7 on the year. They've been, in my opinion, I thought they have been the best team in the AFC West. They faltered against the Kansas City Chiefs. They turned the ball over four times, and you can't do that and expect to win in the National Football League. The Chargers play the New York Jets, obviously, this Sunday on the road, next up against Bryce Petty. Now, I think the Chargers have the ability to go into this game and win. You know, I think Phillip Rivers had one of his worst games of the year against the Chiefs, and I look for him to improve against the New York Jets secondary. And I, you know, Buster Skrine's going to be a guy that's probably going to be covering Keenan Allen. That's going to be a tough matchup. Now, for your Denver Broncos, 5-9 on the year, obviously defeating Indy 25-13. That was a big win. Big win, and I'm excited. You play to win the game. Like I said, you don't play in the National Football League and hope to tank. That's just not the right expectation in any professional sport. Is if you're coming in to tank just to get draft picks and be able to draft some big players, you're not doing it right. There's other options through free agency or through trade, but intentionally tanking at the professional level is, in my opinion, if the NCAA can impose it on colleges and universities, I believe there should be a death penalty or a major fine or the ability to lose a draft pick in the National Football League if teams do decide to tank. Now, the Broncos obviously go on the road this Sunday to take on the Washington Redskins' Kirk Cousins. We're going to have our Locked On Broncos, Locked On Redskins crossover show this week. Stay tuned. Very excited about that, to get that all going over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Obviously, tomorrow we're going to analyze the Broncos practice report. Shane Ray being a surprise guy who just had another surgery on Friday. Just found that news out today. It's unbelievable. We're going to talk about Shane Ray's status going forward, as well as the Broncos practice report. And we'll keep you up to date with, obviously, the crossover show. But, you know, I think overall, guys, the Denver Broncos have a lot of decisions to make. And to be honest with you, if I'm John Elway, I kind of have a headache, because that's a lot of decisions to make, especially as the offseason approaches. And while you're in the offseason, you have to figure out what you want to do for your team, the identity. One thing is for certain, and I don't believe the Denver Broncos are aiming to rebuild. I really don't think that. I don't think rebuild is in the Denver Broncos' vocabulary right now. They're going to reload. They're going to renovate, and they're going to get things right for next year. And I think the Broncos will come back next year and be more competitive. I absolutely do believe that. I think there's an opening in the AFC West, especially with the Chiefs' inconsistency. The Chargers are starting to rise a little bit, so now you're going to have that rivalry be even more enigmatic. I think that's something we can look forward to going forward over here, especially at the Locked On Broncos and the Locked On Podcast. And it's going to make for some great discussions, and it's also going to be just a great topic for you guys as the fans to get your voice heard, obviously. So join us. Send me your tweets. Twitter Tuesday tomorrow, as well as our injury coverage, practice report coverage. We're going to get it all here. Locked On Broncos tomorrow. Send me your tweets at CodyRourkeNFL, at Locked On Broncos. Once again, I want to thank all of you guys for listening to Locked On Broncos. You fans are amazing. I appreciate you guys. We're going to be doing another Locked On Broncos contest giveaway starting around the new year. So about maybe January 10th, we're going to announce the new details for the Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. Could be a jersey, but it's going to be something Denver Broncos related, and I'm excited for that. So be sure to follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Leave a 5-star review over there on iTunes. Tell us why you love the show. Leave your Twitter handle, and that will enter you into a future contest as well. So once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night, and go Broncos.